If you'd be so nice as to turn in your pew Bibles to Gospel of Matthew. Don't mean to be throwing pencils around. Gospel of Matthew, the 18th chapter. Now, sometimes clergy will get a text from lectionary and say, "Oh, Kirkwood doesn't need to hear this." Then speaking to one of my favorite members this morning, he told me a story about why we all need to hear this particular text. So don't try to outsmart the Holy Spirit. Matthew 18, we'll begin reading at verse 15 through 20. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of this, his holy word. Again, will you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, thank you for those words of instruction from your Son. And help us care for one another, especially when we see others in the church not doing what you want us to do. Let us speak a word of kindness and correction. And now may the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. Most of the time, I have seen church discipline as a process used only on the presbytery level. Pastoral misconduct, mismanagement of church funds by an individual or a group of individuals within a local congregation. Then presbytery forms a permanent judicial commission. It meets, and suddenly us presbyters start acting like everybody's been to law school, Steve. But our text from Matthew this morning is really targeted at how individual Christians behave within a local church assembly and how scandalmongers are to be treated. The sins I believe Jesus is alluding to would be those behaviors contrary to the Ten Commandments. The deliberately hurting the faith of other Christians by these kind of behaviors. An individual is worshiping crystal stones or images of Buddha or the Dalai Lama, and yet teaching Sunday school. Someone not taking care of their elderly parents. Someone who has murdered someone else. Someone who continues in an adulterous relationship. Someone who continues to steal. Someone who continues to lie or who is consumed by greed. These are behaviors, Jesus says, warrant confrontation by other Christians. And please remember, this text is addressed to the church about church members correcting church members. It is not saying church members should confront others outside the church. This is not a prescription for a Charlie Reese or for a Kathy Alexander to go up to somebody in their neighborhood or in their family, not connected to any church, and say something like this. You know, Hilda, you should not be playing around with Irma's husband, Andrew. He's a married man, and you're married too. Kathy and Charlie are off the hook on going to their neighbors who aren't in the church. This text is about church members talking to church members. Jesus is talking about church members who are in open violation of the Ten Commandments. Because not to confront their behaviors is to, in a way, let their behaviors destroy the church. How could somebody on Sunday mornings, what is it, the second Sunday in the month, hold on to a basket for hunger, if you saw those persons when no one's looking, take the $20 bills out and stick it in their pocket? How could someone continue to teach children in Sunday school if you know that they have recently been indicted because they're building a meth lab in their backyard? Steve says, I can't wait to throw those people in a slammer. Jesus is saying our behaviors need to reflect how close we live with Jesus. And if you look at this text, it is very interesting on so many levels. Notice how the offender continues to be treated by the church member or members. You visit them privately. Then you take somebody with you. Then you take the matter before the church. And if still no repentance by the offender, then you cast them out of church fellowship. There's a high degree of kindness being expressed to the offender by the other church members. And also something's very interesting in this text. I'm sure Jesus realizes it is not easy to confront others when you know they are doing some really bad things. Our preference would be, like many in our culture, to say, shh, did you hear what Joseph is doing? Shh, none of my business. But Jesus says scandalous behaviors can damage the faith of others in the church. But then Jesus goes and says this. Wherever two or three persons are gathered, Jesus is there too. Two or three persons are gathered. This week, I haven't been thinking so much of church discipline as I've been thinking about Harvey and Irma and which path they will take or have taken. And I have to tell you, I am such a wuss when The meteorologist said, and Irma will be going up Florida and turning to the west. I went, whew, because I just knew Michael and Bonnie's little house in Pocosin is history if four hits Pocosin. Bye-bye, Michael and Bonnie. Nice knowing you. This past week, I remembered the dude's name in North Korea who scares me with nuclear missiles. I heard about earthquakes hitting Mexico. And I keep thinking Jesus' presence is the strength we need in order to cope with life's difficulties, as well as to confront others when their behaviors jeopardize the peace and purity of the congregation. Last remark about church discipline. Remember the end goal for confrontation with church members. Remember the end goal. Restoration. The goal is to restore the offender back into active fellowship with the church family. And Jesus' presence is the power which allows brothers and sisters to confront others and to do so in a loving, kind, and gracious manner. Behaviors are so important to the witness of a congregation. If members are consumed with practicing all manner of evil, the congregation's witness will be diminished. Why would anyone want to join Kirkwood, in which they come into our congregation and see that indifference and greed and idolatries are all over the place? How can Kirkwood exhibit Jesus to a broken, fearful world if we are all caught up and scandalous behaviors? Now, hear me right, Kirkwood. This does not mean, when you obey this text, that we all become self-righteous know-it-alls. It means we are honest about our corporate witness to our community. And we acknowledge that our corporate witness will be diminished if we go along with relationships predicated upon adultery and greed and stealing and lying, etc. Let the church be the church Jesus calls us to. A church that is grounded in His holiness as well as a genuine love for one another. Thus endeth the sermon for today. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, we don't like to judge others. But when brothers and sisters of ours in the church are really messing up, help us have the strength and the boldness to confront them in a loving and kind way and say, this behavior is going to hurt you really bad. Please stop it. And Heavenly Father, thank you for the good folks here at Kirkwood and all the folks in many churches across this great globe that hold up Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Bless them. In your name we pray. Amen.